the House passes the tax cut bill, next stop, President Obama's desk.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in New York. I'm Jeremy Hobson. You will not get a federal tax increase on New Year's Day. With a vote of 277 to 148, the House of Representatives passed last night the same tax cut package that passed the Senate on Wednesday. The measure, which extends the Bush tax cuts for all Americans at all income levels, adds some new tax cuts, and extends jobless benefits for the long-term unemployed, and it now heads to the president's desk. Since he negotiated the deal, chances are he's going to sign it. House Republican Whip Eric Cantor said it was the right thing to do for a struggling economy.
The choice is to act now or impose the onset of a $3.8 trillion tax increase that will crush the fragile recovery and cost tens of thousands of jobs nationally.
As you probably heard, opponents were upset because the plan cuts taxes for the wealthy. But to pass the bill, each party contributed about the same number of votes. 138 Republicans supported it, 139 Democrats did. Well, Apple has announced another big product launch for early next year, but if you want to get in on the action this time, you won't have to stand in line. And that's the point. Marketplace's Eve Troeh reports.
Apple's new App Store opens January 6th on a screen near you. This one will sell applications for your laptop or desktop computer. So you can get that iPhone lightsaber on your MacBook Pro. Maybe, but technology writer Chris Null says it's bigger than that.
We're talking about applications that can run from tens to hundreds to thousands of dollars, from Microsoft Office to Adobe Photoshop.
Apple's expected to take 30% of all App Store purchases. Null says software companies will pretty much have to give in, because the App Store will be the way Mac users pick computer programs, the way they now pick music on iTunes.
It is exactly like iTunes. You'll be able to make a one-click purchase and download it immediately.
Software companies have offered online downloads for years of their own products. What's new here is that Apple will sell everyone's programs for them and get a big cut. I'm Eve Troeh for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Markets are mixed, basically flat around the world right now. Stocks are down in Tokyo, up in Paris. Today is the last day to get your gift to its destination by Christmas if you use standard shipping. FedEx is happy with the amount of packages it's moving around the world right now. The company raised its fiscal year forecast because of strong customer demand so far this holiday season. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow jumped 41 points to close at 11,499.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by the all-new Chevrolet Volt, available soon in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. The all-new Chevrolet Volt. It's more car than electric. And by Vanguard, whose mission is to simplify investing and to help people reach their financial goals at vanguard.com/public radio.
Higher tuition fees were the reason for last week's big protests in London. You probably saw that picture of Prince Charles and Camilla getting hassled by protesters as they drove through town. Well, here in the U.S., there haven't been protests yet on that scale, but universities are facing the same kinds of budgetary challenges. The recession has been hard enough for private institutions like NYU and the University of Chicago, but public universities are tied to those suffering state budgets, so staying competitive can be even harder. We're going to dig into this further now with Mark Udoff. He's the president of the University of California. Mr. Udoff, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
Obviously, the tough spot for a public university is that the mission is to offer an education of top quality at an affordable cost. And at the same time, you want to make sure that you have the money to spend on faculty to remain competitive with private institutions. How do you fulfill both of those goals without either making drastic cuts or raising tuition?
We have raised our fees, tuition to other people, to roughly $12,000. We're still below a number of other prominent public universities. But the really important thing is not just what you charge, but who you teach. So what we've done is we've tried to modulate the system to make sure that if you're making under $80,000, you're not paying anything. We really do need to do something about faculty salaries in particular. But I don't know what to say. I'm a believer in markets. If you want the best people, you need to pay for it. And you're paying for people who not only transmit knowledge, but create knowledge.
Do the politicians at the state level, the ones who are controlling the purse strings, do they understand how important it is to stay competitive with the big private institutions?
I think some of them do understand, but I would say most of them don't. And there's always the danger that you'll be treated as just one more state agency, and we are different. Our place in bringing California back is critically important. I mean, we will create the jobs and the new products. You know, we're responsible in part, obviously, for Silicon Valley, for the agricultural revolution. It seems to me those are the types of things that will bring California back. We're not going to be the low-tax state. We're not going to be the low-regulatory state. We have to be smarter, and being smarter involves higher education.
Do you think that it makes sense for any parts of a university to go private, to get away from the woes of the state?
I don't think it makes sense. We're a consummately California institution. The people of the state have paid for it over 100 years. They've sent their children and grandchildren. I can't guarantee that the tuition doesn't go up, but I think we have to preserve the access and preserve the quality. And we need to figure out formulas to do that. We're not going to throw in the towel and say we're a private institution. I don't think that works for this university.
Mark Udoff, president of the University of California, thank you so much for your time this morning.
Thank you, sir.
And finally, while we're talking cash-strapped education systems, the school board in Los Angeles will vote next week on a proposal to bring in some cash by allowing corporations to sponsor school programs. They won't be able to advertise, per se, just to put their corporate logo on the school cafeteria wall or on the football field. I just hope it doesn't get to the point where today's gym class is, I don't know, brought to you by McDonald's. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report.
American Public Media.
It's a tricky balance. You blow the whistle on financial fraud at your firm and you get a huge bounty, or you don't and you keep a low profile.
If you don't protect the whistleblower, he or she is simply not going to step forward.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. The cost-benefit analysis of new whistleblower rules in our series Economy 4.0. That's next time on Marketplace from American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.